Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
We're heading into wedding season. Are you going to a wedding? Are you getting married? Well, someone polled 2,000 people who got married in the past 3 years, and a quarter admit they got cold feet. That's how many thought about calling the whole thing off in the last minute. He said 1 in 5 people get cold feet before their wedding.
Well, it might be one of the reasons you see a lot of, you know, divorces or annulments that happen very shortly after. That, you know, you had once that that snowball gets a rolling down.
Yeah.
And you get a whole, you know, families involved and all different vendors and money spent. It can get taxing, or at least
the stress of it all.
Stressful, yeah.
No, certainly. And I think back to just before we got married, and I remember having this ache in behind my ear. And it was just like a throbbing pain, and it felt a bit like a headache. And I remember going to the doctor and telling him about it, and sent me for some x-ray, and nothing showed up, and it wouldn't go away. And so I went back to him again. And, I pretty much convinced myself I had brain cancer. I just figured, and I still am guilty of this, that whenever things are going really well in life, I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Right.
Anyhow, I finally went back to him and I said, this won't go away. And, you know, could it be brain cancer? And he just looked at me with a, you're so stupid look. He said, what's going on, Craig? I said, well, I'm getting married in like 2 weeks. That's your problem. And ever since I got married, that pain has never gone away. No, it's
migrated south.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, I started on my new day. I am now like 48 hours away from hot sauce.
Oh, look, yeah.
I'm pretty good. It's a little shaky.
Not shaky at all.
No. I went, you know what I did on the way home yesterday? Because I thought, I really do like a snack while I'm putting away the dishes. So I went and bought myself a bag of clementines.
Oh.
I had a couple of clementines.
All right.
Refreshing that juice.
Yeah.
Little, you know, tasty. Yeah. I always like clementines. I always like fruit. I just hate prepping it.
Yeah.
So that's me now. I'm going to look 20 years younger. I'm going to look like Donald Trump. I keep eating clementines.
Yeah, that's the secret.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that happened. I do remember that I don't think I really had cold feet, certainly the nerves of everything, but I do remember standing in the reception hall probably after dinner, and I saw all my buddies that I had invited who were still at that time single, and they're just working my open bar and trying to pick up the bridesmaids and anything else in a skirt. And I thought, for a second, I thought, have I jumped into this too young?
Right.
More than a second, I thought about it. I stared at them and I went, their world is wide open. And as much as I love this woman, this is it, mm-hmm. You know. And then, of course, because we came out of both of our parents' homes, we never lived together because that's sinful. I remember the first night that we actually were home together in our little house, because your honeymoon is your honeymoon. It's all great. And we're just sitting there having dinner with nothing to say to one another. Like, it kind of felt like we shouldn't even be here. What are we doing?
Who are you? What have I done?
This is what we're doing for the next eternity? So I guess these things happen. And we still sit there and stare at one another and don't say anything.
Right.
Just change.
Yeah, I am amazed. Like, listen, cold feet, any major decision you make in life or major event likely will have a little bit of, you know, doubt creeping in or stress involved with it. Expense certainly is part of that stress.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, but I am still amazed when you hear stories of people who, like, you know, at the altar, who get to that point and say, can't do it. And how they didn't end it there and not like a week before.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard of outside of like movies or like I've never personally known anybody to do that.
No.
Or I've never been at a wedding where that happened.
Yeah, I've known, you know, some that didn't make it through the honeymoon.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. One couple that basically came back from the honeymoon separate.
And had they never gone on a vacation together before?
No, I think they had. And they
just so weird, isn't it?
And went through the whole process, dated for years.
Wow.
And then just the finality of it.
Or I think that's a lot of it.
Is all of it, right?
Especially you hear
a lot of couples that date for like 12 years.
Right.
Or engaged for years at a time. Yeah. And then, you know, when they finally do tie the knot, it's nah.
It's probably why more marriages are successful if you have played the field a bit, dated different people. And I would say holding off to your early 30s is probably a good time to do that. We got married. I was like 24 and Maria was like 22. We were really young. Like, and I look back now, that seems incredibly young. But we had dated for 5 years and, you know, and then we had kids relatively quick. So I just think that what ends up happening down the road, because life is short. Sure, we all say that. But it is incredibly long, too.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, with one person and the ups and downs of all of that. And I'm sure that for many, somewhere along the line, you go, well, I only dated like one other person before I met him or her, and I never really sowed my oats.
It's interesting when you see played the field, because did they play a yard or a football stadium? Because if there's that difference between, yeah, that can lead to some problems.
Yeah, but yeah, when you're younger, I think now if I was divorced, and I met somebody, my assumption would just have to be that they had already been with a lot of people.
Right.
Because you get to a certain point, unless they had been married for a long time and their spouse had passed or whatever. But when you're young, yeah, if you're like 26 and you meet some woman and she's already run up and down the field 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Don't ask the question if you don't want to know the answer.
That's very
one.
True.
But two, and listen, in the world, both of you and I got married before online dating had really taken off to the extent that it is now.
Yeah.
And in this world, it's got to be so difficult.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, that is the whole idea and concept behind Plenty of Fish, that there's so many others out there that the second one thing grinds your gears, you're out.
You're out, yeah. So if people didn't get cold feet but have regrets about their wedding, some things include the scheduling, everything felt too rushed, the guest list, you invited too many people, the vendors, your photographer might have sucked, the total cost of everything.
Right.
The weather, if you did something outdoors.
Well, that's where it kind of gets out of control overall. Yeah. And it literally gets out of control because you get so many other people involved. If it's a big family ordeal and then you've got other family members who are weighing in with their opinion or perhaps their money, help you out, and they want some influence on the decision. And a lot of people, you know, couples, young couples now, just say, I just want it to be our day. Let's go and elope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's just way too much money, and we talk always about the cost of everything these days, and many of us aren't even going to be able to afford to fill up the tank of gas with the way it is right now. Should I buy milk for the kids or put gas in the car? And so now when you look at an expense of a wedding, that could go into something like, a home.
Right.
You know, and not the one you're going to stick your parents in later. I mean, a house for yourself. Have you ever noticed when you've opened up a bag of pre-shredded cheese that it's got some dusty stuff on it? It's always there whether you see it or not. It's an anti-caking agent. It keeps the shreds from sticking and lumping together.
Okay.
And the cheese companies that use it and the methods they have are all food safe in small amounts. Still, not everyone is excited about eating these substances. So there's a new trend of people washing their shredded cheese using it. Most people are dumping the cheese into a colander, rinsing it with water, and then drying it on paper towel.
Wouldn't it be more efficient then to just buy a block of cheese and grate it yourself?
Well, there's the rub, Lucky, yes. But since most of us are just complete bags of air, and bolts.
You pay more for it to be shredded.
You do, that's right. And listen, kids, you get a little exercise by shredding the cheese. You get your hips moving, your arms going.
Uh-huh. You get your hips, you put your hips into it?
I put everything into it. That's also ridiculous.
It's not really a stretch for you for an up and down motion with your dominant hand.
Listen, I don't go up and down. Have you ever shredded cheese? You don't go up and down. You go back and forth. Obviously, I see you shred no cheese.
I shred up and down. I got an upright shredder.
Oh, you got one of them fancy ones.
I got a fancy one.
Oh, no, I think ours is better because it's the shredder is attached to a bowl. So as you shred it, it goes right into the bowl.
Yes, ours has a little thing underneath it that catches it.
Of course it does.
Then it's got some, it always just falls all over the countertop anyway.
Don't you have the servants shredding the cheese for you? Isn't that the night nurse's job during the day?
No, they're far too busy taking up my stuff. The butler sometimes gets to it this time.
Yeah, kids, listen, I know you barely cook. You don't even own kitchens. You don't know how to turn on a stove or open a fridge. But shred your cheese. Plus, you want to save a couple of bucks. It's cheaper, usually, a block of cheese over the pre-shredded stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you go by weight, yes. Yeah. For sure. And then, yes, like when you buy the pre-shredded, and I have, it's got a drier consistency.
Yeah, it's really not good when you use it in, like, when you're baking it down.
Okay.
Yeah, it really doesn't bake down as nice as a regular block of cheese does.
Right.
Anyhow, of course, rinsing your cheese is messy. What do you take each strand and lay it out on a paper towel?
So ridiculous. You're probably wasting so much. It's got to go through the colander.
Yeah. And the other problem is you're also washing off some mold inhibitor that cheese companies puts on it. And then it'll mold faster because you've washed that off.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I would hope that they're washing it per use, rather than washing it and putting it back in the fridge.
Oh, I bet you they are.
Holy cow.
Yeah, no, I know. Just Samsonite. Just morons. One idiot on social media said, well, I do this because I don't have time to shred the cheese. But you have time to rinse it all and lay it out on paper towel.
To dry it off and then wash up that mess afterwards.
These people are a block of cheese. Everybody had a big sigh of relief last night, I would guess.
You think so? Although there will be some leaf doubters who think, well, they lost 5-1 and then 1-3-2, so it's a bit tight. But that's how the playoffs go, and it doesn't really matter what the score was, except for the fact of who won.
Yeah, look, I thought it was terrific that right after Boston scored, the Leafs came right back. I thought that Austin Matthews' goal was spectacular, catching that puck in midair, dropping it and shooting it in. Pretty neat little trick.
Wait a minute. Did you watch
the whole game?
A Leaf game?
I've watched two now.
Wow.
Well, I only do it because of this job.
Right.
No, honestly.
Said before the playoffs you were interested in.
I like the game.
Okay.
And I've always liked the game. I just can't stand the frat boy attitude of the players.
Right.
I detest the parents of the game.
Okay.
And I detest most of the children who play the game. I detest the entire culture of hockey.
Right.
The cult-like craziness.
But you like the game.
But I like the game.
Right.
If we could remove the personalities, like there is any, if we could remove the human beings, specifically mostly the parents, from the game, just the addiction to it. Like I've said so many times before, I just drives me crazy when people get too wrapped up in one thing.
Right.
And we are so wrapped up in hockey, and it just drives me crazy.
Well, and one of the, to prove your point, one of those kind of frat boy mentalities almost cost the Leafs the game last night. With a stupid penalty, 6 minutes left in the third period of a hockey game, with Labushkin pushing and shoving in front. Lucky that he didn't get the only penalty out of that fray.
Right.
And then Bertuzzi coming in with a slash to the leg of Marchand. Leaf fans can argue that he sold it or not, but it doesn't matter. The slash was there. And with 6 minutes left in a playoff game that you're trying to win the first time in forever against Boston, that's a stupid penalty to take and almost cost your team.
Yeah, no, it was, there was some moments for sure. So I thought Samsonov was great last night.
Yeah,
so.
And herein lies, we talked before this series, you asked, what does Boston bring?
Right.
They bring two very good goaltenders. The problem is you can only play one at a time. And it creates a problem for Boston in the sense that you've got two guys that you want to give a chance to or keep warm, but you can't play them both in a game.
Right.
And so they win on the game one with Swayman, And then they stick with their strategy to go to game two with Linus Ullmark. They changed goaltenders for game two after what was a decisive win in game one. And Swayman looked fantastic. Now, was Ullmark the problem? No, he was great in that game two. But, you know, it just now all of a sudden you have Boston, I'm sure, doubting what happens. And the plan was probably to go back to Swayman anyway for this game, for game three coming up on Wednesday. But it certainly gives the Leafs fans a lot of hope, because as they say in a playoff series, you're never in trouble until you lose a game at home. And Boston's just done that.
I saw that Washington had lost. I don't know if they've had their second game yet, but I saw that they lost the first one to New York. And so I've changed my mind on my gambling approach.
Oh, okay.
I was going to go all in on Washington winning the cup as a long shot.
The longest shot.
But I think what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to save my money and wait till the Stanley Cup final and lay it all down on a winner.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
Sure.
Yeah. I just got to remember what site I put the money on. I think it's FanDuel. I think that's what it was. I'll find it. I keep getting emails from FanDuel, that must be where I'm at. I'm holding that gambling site together with my $100 sitting there.
That's it. I'm sure they're trembling, wondering what's going to happen with this guy's $100.
Please don't spend it. Don't spend it. Anyhow, yeah, it was good. It was a fun game. Thankfully, it didn't go into overtime. That was my biggest concern when it was 2-2. I'm like, oh, don't let this go into overtime. Please don't let this go into overtime.
Well, and listen, that is Austin Matthews finally gets his 70th goal of the season.
Yeah, I guess I was wrong.
It doesn't count as a regular season obviously. But boy, did he ever show up in that instance. And the talent, you know, it's unbelievable to, one, the pass from Domi way up in the air, kind of floating it over everybody. But the thought process for Austin Matthews at that point is, here comes the puck. Watch my feet. I've got to stay onside. Then I've got to catch this puck over top of this guy, drop it down, get a first couple of three strides in to get away from him. And then which way am I going over the goaltender, backhand, forehand, roof? The thought process that these guys make at that speed is unbelievable.
Is this desk growing? I think you're getting an erection. Earth Day came and went yesterday, and a big push, as Lucky had in the news, to get rid of plastics by 2040. And really, they're one of the big, big handicaps for the environment, certainly in the ocean. And you get the plastic straws. The animals are choking on them. It's just filling up. We are filling up the ocean with water bottles. And so, of course, we preach it and preach it and say it and say it. It just falls on deaf ears, because I was coming out of the grocery store yesterday morning and a guy was pushing a cart. He must have had 4 or 5, like 18-pack cases of plastic water bottles on Earth Day.
It was an Earth Day sale.
Probably. The grocery store should feel guilty for probably doing a sale on Earth Day.
Earth Day blowout.
Yeah. I just thought we just don't give a crap.
Right.
If it's going to interfere with me on any level, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm driving the biggest vehicle.
Did you just put a plastic water bottle out on your light post?
Yeah, but I'll save the bottle.
Yeah.
Okay. It's one. You complete and utter a-hole. You're a guy, you know, you sit here and you talk and you preach about how nobody cares, politicians, we don't vote. You're probably one of the biggest criminals when it comes to water bottles and plastic bottles. Between the hockey and the cottage and golf, you probably go through more plastic than Amazon. Gatorade bottles everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So don't you
guilty. We have
me.
A case of water in
of
our.
Of course
in our,
you do.
But I, for the most part, use. I have a water in our fridge and I use that. I use a reusable cup, a shaker cup.
So what do you need the case of plastic water at home
for? On the road.
You get that thirsty, fill your mug up and take it.
Right.
Well, where are you driving that you can't last for an hour without a.
Especially with the size that mugs are now.
Yes.
We got big ones. But I've seen that before too. I've seen a guy fill up a truck full of plastic water. And I don't know if he's going to a marathon or what the hell they were doing.
A walk on the sun?
You see it. And this is given as well, like that we found ways to recycle things. But then people still just toss them into the woods or straight into the car.
Oh, yeah. We're pigs. We're absolute pigs. only science or AI can save us from ourselves, because we're incapable of saving ourselves.
Right.
We really don't care, or we've just figured, we've come this far, it'll be fine.
Well, for way too many, we mentioned this yesterday, they just think it's, it's not my problem. Mm. Someone else will solve it, or someone else will have to deal with it later.
Right.
I don't care. I only care about me.
Yeah. I think you wrote that. In the opening of your autobiography.
Right.
More Lucky Than I Deserve was the name of the title.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah. Google Trends released some search data on what people are looking to recycle and get rid of. And at the top of the list, bottles and cans. But don't most of us know how to get rid of bottles and cans now? I mean, you have a blue bin, you throw that in there.
Beyond that, I don't know. I put them, if I'm at those garbage bins in like the mall or whatever, I'll look for the right one to put it into.
Yeah. We're looking for how to get rid of batteries, both the, your regular A's, double A's, triple A's, whatever they are, and car batteries, of course.
Well, and a lot of people, you can take a lot of this tech stuff to the dump and dump it for free.
Oh yeah,
if you show up there and you just got electronics or household waste, like paint, like hazardous waste.
You can dump that for free?
You go through that for free.
Really, that stuff. Tires, I know, but you can get rid of computers and old TVs for free?
I don't know about the TVs, but I know some of the stuff you can get for free. If you've got a TV, by the way, that you just don't want anymore, it still works. We've got this like community day coming up, right? Mm-hmm. May 4th. Basically, they're saying if you've got usable stuff it's almost like a massive community garage sale, but you put it at the end of the driveway and people can clearly mark for free and people can come pick it up.
That's a good idea. People don't know how to get rid of pizza boxes. Again.
What do you need? The instructions?
When did you eat it? Choke on it. Wrapping paper, Christmas trees. Well, again, if you get a real tree every year, most communities have a day where they come and they'll pick it up. You just got to have it at the end of your driveway for that day. Plastic bags, plastic hangers, egg cartons, again, with the pizza boxes, fast food stuff. That can be tricky sometimes because you get the plastic this, the bag is maybe plastic, and then the container is cardboard and something else is something else. This is good. Eclipse glasses. Right. When are you going to ever need those again? A waste of money. Tom Cruise is a tad needy for attention. He was doing something crazy. Now he was at Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday party, and he decided to just start breakdancing.
Okay.
He apparently shocked the guests with a series of breakdancing moves. We won't see any video or pictures of Tom doing his breakdancing because the Beckhams banned anybody taking photos. Now, I did see one photo of Victoria Beckham and some girlfriends of hers having a good time. And
okay.
They said it was at her 50th. So they probably had a professional photographer.
Did it look like a professional photo?
It looked pretty good, I guess. And I think that probably with all the celebrities there, probably most of them like the idea, because not everybody at the party would be a celebrity, right? There'd be cousins and nieces and other family members.
I guess so,
mixing and mingling. And I'm sure the likes of Selma Hayek and Jason Statham and Eva Longoria and others who were there probably would appreciate no photos being taken, so they can just literally let their hair down and relax, enjoy themselves.
Picture of them powdering their nose.
Yeah, right, in the bathroom. The Spice Girls were there as well, but they were serving hors d'oeuvres at the time. There's a great show on Netflix called Girls Five Eva, and it's a knockoff of the Spice Girls, and it's all about these women who were like a big deal in the 90s. As a group, and then they end up getting a second chance at a career later in life. And it's produced by Tina Fey. It's written very much in a Tina Fey kind of way.
Okay.
And it's instead of being Girls Forever, they're Girls Five Eva because they thought it sounded better. It's very funny. Another Tom Brady is getting a comedy roast.
Wow.
Live special on Netflix. The greatest roast of all time, they're calling it. It'll air May 5th on Netflix, part of their Netflix is a Joke Festival. Kevin Hart will host. Roastmaster Jeff Ross will be there. I don't think you could have a roast without Jeff Ross.
He owns it, doesn't he?
He probably has a piece of it.
Yeah.
He's probably, Jeff in the trailer is heard to say, "We're coming for you, pretty boy." Don't worry, Tom Brady won't get most of the jokes anyhow. Got to use words with four or five letters in them. No more than five letters.
Oh, my.
Right over his head. You know, I wonder, because in other roasts, they've had celebrity exes show up. Like Demi Moore showed up for...
Oh, right.
So I wonder if Giselle will show up.
I'm not sure she's one to play along there.
No, I don't think she's got much of a sense of humor either. Mm. Oh, and it is so terrible when you see the ones who fail. You know, the ones who aren't... I mean, it is unfair. You've got professional comedians up there.
Right, yeah.
And then you get some, like, Ann Coulter...
Yeah.
Trying to rip into Rob Lowe.
Well, I mean, it's all written for them. Right. But they can't even deliver it.
No, no.
You'll probably see something like Gronk or something will be there for this one. And
right.
Trying to deliver some lines.
Yeah. Back at the Rob Lowe one, man, they ripped into him pretty good. But I think they destroyed Ann Coulter.
Like, oh, yeah.
The things Pete Davidson said about her.
The scarecrow lines, all that stuff.
Oh, I know. The Nazi references and
it's almost like they have the sound turned off on stage. Like you know, sometimes when you're on stage, you it's all projected out,
right?
And you can't, when you're actually on stage, you can't hear what's happening because you'll see them up on that, they're called the dais, up on that stage, and they, you know, are just kind of smiling along. They're not really reacting it was that funny.
The comedians and the actors will. I think the Ann Coulters and the Gronks,
right.
I don't think they know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't think they know whether to laugh or, you know, she played this stunt that I've seen many of them play where they'll act like they didn't hear it. What was that he said? I didn't.
Yeah.
You heard exactly what he said. Everybody else was laughing at it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's just, it is. They are an interesting experiment, those roasts, because some of them are really funny. You're right. Some are just so awkward.
Yeah.
And then it's just such a weird mix. Like that Rob Lowe one had like Jewel, Ann Coulter, and Ralph Macchio. Like,
it was strange.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I always wonder if those are people that he requested or.
Just, that's like, where their agents lined them up.
Like they, him and Rob Macchio, of course, were in The Outsiders
right,
together.
Yeah.
And they, you probably have mixed and mingled in Hollywood for decades. But I can't see Rob Lowe and Ann Coulter being friends, but maybe they are. Who knows? Do you think you could sit and be roasted like that?
I mean, I guess you play along, right?
Right.
Like, and you get to do some roasting as well.
Sure.
At the end of it all. So if you're all in good fun, if you don't take yourself too seriously, then.
I mean, I know I'd break down in tears.
Well, I don't know what is different. I sit here getting roasted by you for 4 hours.
Yeah, but I haven't even come close to really digging in. Listen, I've actually bit my tongue with you.
I'm sure you have.
If you've got like 25 hours and 7 minutes with nothing to do, you want to sit through all the Star Wars movies? Well, you can make $1,000 for doing it. You got to review them all. The only deal is, if you are the person picked, you must never have watched any of them.
Oh.
How is it possible a person of a certain age, certainly anybody in their, I would say, 40s and beyond, how would it even be possible that you hadn't seen one of the Star Wars along the way?
Well, I guess if if your parents didn't show it to you.
Yeah.
You weren't into the sci-fi kind of thing at that point, but... It would seem hard to not stumble across it.
I mean, I could care less about them, and I saw the first three.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just such a massive thing, you kind of had to.
I saw the first three and probably about half an hour of the next one, and then that was, I lost it.
Yeah. So, 25 hours, 7 minutes, you'll get $100 for snacks and streaming services.
And you get paid $1,000 to watch it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess not the end of the world, but boy, that seems like a long endeavor.
I watch 25 hours and 7 minutes of TV a day as it is, so. You must be 18 to apply, and applications being accepted until May 4th.
Ah, May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.